This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good Thursday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are out and about and on the road live on 106.7 The Fan. We are in Bowie, Maryland, at the home of the Bay Sox today, where the Nationals AA affiliate, the Harrisburg Senators, are in town to take on the Bowie Bay Sox. And that means highly regarded top 10 prospect in baseball and the centerpiece of the Juan Soto deal. James Wood is in town, so we'll get to put eyeballs on him. Jackson Rutledge is pitching for the Nationals AA affiliate, one of their former first-round picks, and they're taking on the AA Baltimore Orioles affiliate here in Bowie, where we're watching batting practice on a Chamber of Commerce day. It is gorgeous outside. Just put it on a postcard. This is a good place to be, Danny Ruye.
I love it here. I love it here. I have some great baseball memories myself playing on this field, GP. We're at a ballpark. You may not realize this. Your boy sitting to your right immediately. We're now making physical contact. That's how close we are. Arm's length. 6 career bolts on this field right here over a number of games.
Very impressive.
Now, not at this level. These are professional baseball players. I was not that. Still, it's a lot of fun to come back here and relive those. I was telling anybody that would listen before the show about them. Well, let me tell you, it was a 1-1 pitch, and he thought he was going to get a bunt, but he didn't, and I hope. And no one cared, and they were politely listening. Like, uh-huh. Here are the list of promotions we have coming up. Could you mention Star Wars Night? But still, it was fun for me.
Speaking of promotions, I got my hands on a fanny pack.
Yeah.
1990s night. By the way, that's how old we are. 90s night is now a promotion.
Like, why would they promote something? Oh, my God.
I remember when I was a kid and, like, it's 70s night at the ballpark. And it's like, that's so long ago. Now it's 90s night with a fanny pack giveaway to the first 750 fans, 13 and up, tomorrow night here in Bowie, Maryland. But if you want to see James Wood, this is the best opportunity to do it. And at the top of the lineup now for the Senators, the AA affiliate for the Nationals, they've got Robert Hassel batting leadoff, James Wood batting second, two of the guys that they got back in the Soto deal who are now in AA. You're knocking on the door of the major league. So I'm really excited to be here. It is awesome to be with you guys for the next 4.5 hours in a minor league ballpark. I'm staying tonight to watch James Wood, to watch Jackson Rutledge. Going to be very, very cool. We're hoping to get James Wood on the show. I know he's a local guy, and he's got a lot of family in town, so we'll see if we can work it into his schedule. We're going to have Robert Hassel on today as we go, so it will be a really, really fun show. I want to recap our meal at Yardbird for everyone.
I think it's important we do that.
We're going to get into some of the shenanigans that took place at our show dinner last night. We left the studio. The Nats were playing the Dodgers. Uh-huh. We went to Yardbird in D.C. for a 4:45 reservation. So we'll get to that in a second. But speaking of the Nats playing the Dodgers, the game of the year took place yesterday right here on 106.7 The Fan.
How about it?
How about the baby Nats? K-Bert Ruiz and C.J. Abrams go back-to-back, part of a 5-home-run display. They hit 2 homers in a game, like twice this season. They had at no point this year hit 3 homers in a game as a team, and they belted 5, including a pair from K-Bert Ruiz, 3 homers in 2 days, almost hit 5 in the series. He had 2 deep fly balls to the warning track, showing big-time power in L.A., the team that once traded him to Washington. But the kids showing up yesterday, flexing their muscles.
Yeah, good for Ruiz. I mean, he'd been squaring a few balls up here lately that, you know, had gone 395 feet that are just outs in the scorebook. They don't look like anything special. He was due for a couple of those to get out of the yard, and so that was really, really cool to see. He'd also, but frankly, if I can make it about myself again for a second, he'd been making me look like a horse's ass, where I keep telling everybody.
I thought you were going to tell us you hit a home run at Dodger Stadium.
I certainly did not. I would have required, yeah, I did not do
six
that.
Of them.
Yeah, I could have hit it twice. Picked it up and hit it again, I probably wouldn't have gotten out of there. But I've been telling people, when I talk to folks, you know, that I haven't seen in a while, asking about some of the prospects they got back for Soto or with some of the deals that they made. And I tell people how much I like Ruiz an awful lot. I like him behind the plate, even though maybe some of the metrics aren't as kind to him. Obviously love him as a catch and throw. Bat to ball so good. But I said, I'm telling you, the power is coming. And I'll get these texts every once in a while where it's like, he's got two home runs at the end of May. What are you talking about? So it was good to see him finally start driving the ball a little bit more, which he's been doing lately as he's been finishing his swing, kind of staying upright, staying behind the ball. I really do. I think he could be an everyday 15, 16 homer guy for someone that's going to play about 100 games, which I think could really help.
Five home runs in and of itself for this team is incredible. But the fact that it was two from Ruiz, one from Abrams, one from Garcia, and you throw in a two-run shot from Jamer Candelario as well. Mm-hmm. But you had four bolts from
the kids,
the three guys that matter the most long-term in this lineup. We're trying to figure out what Luis Garcia is eventually. At second base, I know he had an error yesterday, but he's been phenomenal defensively. A major breakthrough for him with his glove, moving to second base full-time this year. He hit his fourth home run. He's having good at-bats. He's one of the hardest players in the league to strike out. So is Ruiz, by the way,
yep,
the switch-hitting catcher. And Ruiz hit homers from both the right and left sides of the plate in a span of a couple days as part of his three-homer barrage. But it's the two that he just missed. Like, you could have been talking about a five-home run series for, yep, a catcher. Last year he hit seven homers. He's already got seven right now, and it's June 1st. So you're seeing big-time growth from him. You're seeing major steps forward from Luis Garcia. And Abrams, you know, we've talked a lot about whether or not he has star potential. Is he just ultimately going to be a good player at shortstop? He's got to cut down on the errors. I think that's going to happen.
Yep,
he's got the range. He checks every box in terms of agility and foot speed and quickness and awareness and the arm and the glove, everything you want. All the tools are there. He's now suddenly on a pace where it's 20-plus home runs, 20-plus steals, up the middle premium defense position at shortstop. If you have a 20-20 guy, like, there's going to be some all-star appearances potentially. That's a big deal. And he came over in this Soto deal with Mackenzie Gore, who threw seven innings and struck out 11 this weekend, with the two guys hitting in the top two spots in this double-A order we're excited to see tonight, mm-hmm, Hassel and the phenom, 6'6" James Wood. And then there's still another player in the deal who throws 102 miles an hour in A-ball, and Yarlin Susana, who's got one of the highest strikeout rates in the organization. Mike Rizzo's food's tasting pretty good right now.
And that Abrams homer yesterday, by the way, you know, sometimes like a little, like D. Gordon has homered in his career. Every once in a while, a little guy can kind of run into one and, you know, pull side and it stays fair. You get a homer off the outside corner.
Yes.
Not all of his body weight. This isn't Vladimir Guerrero Jr. getting into a pitch. Dude, this was sort of I'm just going to kind of gently flick my bat in the general direction of the ball, staying through it 410 feet away.
He was off balance, right? He's out on his front foot,
yep,
like leaning over the plate. And it's, I don't want to say it was one-handed, but it was basically the,
yeah,
front arm with,
uh-huh,
all of the weight. And to your point, it was not a, you know, he didn't hit it 40 feet over the fence. Mookie Betts, who's arguably the best right fielder in baseball defensively, made a hell of a play at the wall and got within like a foot of the baseball over top of the fence. But it was a home run for C.J. Abrams, adding to his season count as he gets now to his sixth of the year. But you start to do some of the math and some of the 162-game paces for guys like Abrams and Ruiz. And even though this team doesn't have a lot of power, no one's going to hit 30. There's certainly not a 40-home run bat right now anywhere near the big leagues for this club. Things are looking up.
Yep.
You go to L.A., you finish off a six-game road trip where you were 3-3. You took a series from the Royals. I feel good about what happened yesterday, so I wanted to give the Nats some kudos here right off the top. But without further ado, the people need to know just how embarrassing.
Speaking of kudos, did we order those last night too?
Just.
Did we eat them?
How disgusting the display we put on at Yardbird was yesterday as a show. So here are the particulars. Four of us went out to eat. Four of us. Myself, Danny Ruye, producers Darius Dameron and Ryan Clary. We sat at a four-top. We didn't take up any extra space. Routinely, there were so many plates on the table that we were the people using the table next to us to set plates down, or the waitress would send people over to say, hey, we need to make some room for you guys. Normally, when four people sit at a table, it works because there's a plate per person. We ordered so many things, there was never enough room on the table. The waitress at one point said to us, are you guys sure? I asked her after our appetizer order. She said, oh, you guys are going to be too full for entrees. That was cute, wasn't it? Wasn't that adorable when she said that? I thought that was fun. I figured I could just read everything that we ordered yesterday. I've got the receipt in front of me here.
So what we figured is we would do kind of a dramatic reading of that, almost in the style, if I can say this, of Stone Cold Steve Austin explaining to the audience that he was going to drink beer, except for beer, it's food items
right.
at Yardbird.
So here was our order. I'll start with our beverages. Now I want everyone to know there was no alcohol consumed.
None.
Four grown adult males sitting and eating as much as their bodies would let them eat, to the point where we were all helping each other get to the car like we just lost a fight at different points, helping each other across the street. No one drank alcohol. Here's what the meal consisted of. A bottle of Coke.
What?
What?
Two bottles of Diet Coke.
What?
An unsweet tea.
What?
Fried green tomatoes.
What?
An order of four classic buttermilk biscuits.
What?
A second order of four classic buttermilk biscuits.
What?
An entire skillet of cornbread with butter on top.
What?
An order of deviled eggs.
What?
A second order of deviled eggs.
What?
A Llewellyn's Fine fried chicken entree, which we had brought during the appetizer so that we could sauce some chicken off of the fried chicken to use with our biscuits for biscuit sandwiches.
What?
Now we'll get to the entrees. St. Louis-style pork ribs.
What?
Mashed potatoes.
What?
Sweet tea braised short ribs.
What?
Chicken and waffles.
What?
An order of mac and cheese.
What?
An entree of lobster mac and cheese.
What?
That was with a full lobster, by the way.
It was, but just a quick clarification, the entire lobster.
An order of grits.
What?
Now we'll get to the desserts. A banana pudding cheesecake.
What?
Deep fried Oreos.
What?
Ice cream.
What? What?
Ladies and gentlemen, the meal for four people.
God, there it is.
Tim has tears coming from his eyes. I'm telling you, I said this to Tim earlier today. I didn't give him the specifics. If you had a party at your house and you thought you were going to have about 12 to 15 people and you just had all the food that we ordered kind of spread out on a table as your spread, I legitimately believe everyone maybe doesn't feel full but is satiated and comfortable with what they got to eat.
I think it would be one of those things where the two wives – who, like, planned the party together, you know, would go, did we get too much? Do you think we got too much? I guess someone could take it home, right? Someone will take it home. Someone will take something home. Four people. Because you hear those items. You're like, oh, chicken and waffles. Okay. That is not a portion for a human being.
This is
that's
a good point.
That's a portion for a bear.
The waffles, and I'll post all the pictures of everything at Grant H. Paulson on Instagram. Danny was very upset I was taking pictures of everything before we got to eat it. But my wife had wanted to see it.
No, I understand. Yeah, yeah.
I told my wife a couple days beforehand because I'd forgotten to let her know. I said, hey, by the way, show ratings dinner. We're going to Yardbird. We're going to do it at 4:45 when the Nats are playing because we're off early. And she said, oh, this is how you're letting me know I'm not invited.
That's right.
And I said, well, it's not really like that. So she, her only request at that point was, I want a picture of everything that you guys eat. And I said, that's the least I can do. So I sent her a picture of everything. I still have those photos. I will post them on Instagram at Grant H. Paulson. But you're right, the amount of food you get. Like, so when I just say mac and cheese, you're just thinking of a little bit of mac and cheese.
Right. Oh, a side of mac
and
cheese.
This is a huge skillet of mac and cheese.
Meant for four people.
Here's what I'm going to tell you about Danny in this meal. You remember the TV show Man vs. Food?
Of course I do. Adam Richman.
Danny has never lost to food at a meal that I was at until May 31st, 2023. He lost last night. I don't know if it's because you've been getting healthier, you've been eating a little bit less, but Danny, at the beginning of the meal, he's moving and shaking. He's shucking. He's jiving. He is having a good time. He's out with the guys. When you're at a party and you're drinking with your buddy, there's like a moment where you realize, you're like, oh, no, he is gone.
Where you basically, right? you've got the... the room established. You know who's where and who's doing what.
Right.
You look away, you do something else. The next time you look back, like, oh, my God, he's hammered.
Right, exactly.
That's what happened.
That happened. I looked across the table, and I just started giggling because Danny had his – by the way, when we left, you couldn't button your jacket.
That's right.
But Danny was leaned back, and he looked like he was about to fall asleep. And Ryan asked him a question, and he didn't care enough to answer it. He had just gotten to the point where
I muttered something. I was like, my nose was stuffed up for some reason. Like every orifice was full.
I was like,
does that make sense?
I was like, Danny's drunk. You are
on food.
You haven't had any alcohol.
Yeah,
but you're done. You are cooked.
I was pouring sweat, and the food was full all the way up to like the back of my tongue. Does it make any sense? Like there was no other place things could go. As I said, my nose was stuffed up. I couldn't hear. I can't remember being that full.
It was gross what happened yesterday. But, I mean, in the best way possible. Like, mm-hmm. The best food, so amazing. Everything was wonderful and delicious. You guys chose Yardbird. We've always done steakhouses, but we really mixed it up with one of our favorite D.C. establishments. I think it was a good choice by everyone. But the problem was we got ourselves into this mode where we talked such a big game. Everyone was like, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. And then we sit
and
down.
We got it.
And everyone just backs up what they've been talking about.
Yeah.
And then we just keep eating it. The only thing that I would say maybe, I think two things ended up getting boxed up. A little bit of your grits.
Uh-huh.
Because, in fairness, your grits was the size of this infield. And
for folks that know grits, these are outstanding grits, by the way. Cheesy grits, very flavorful.
And no one else at the table touched them.
No one else ate any. It was me. I thought I was getting them for the people. To share, pre-share. It was a pre-share.
You also said, does anyone want grits? We all said no. And you ordered them.
But Ryan said yes, and I thought you kind of gave me like a semi-thumbs up, like you were sort of into it.
I think you got three no's and you just pushed it.
And I did it anyway. Yeah, entirely possible.
You're like, I just want to taste them, so
they're so
good.
Let's
get a bucket of them.
But it's like eating a baseball that's also like a kettlebell. Like, it's the heaviest food on the planet. That's what put me over the top. The lobster mac and cheese.
Is that why you died yesterday?
Yes. The eating half those grits, and I think the other thing was I had to eat half the jalapeno cornbread.
That's true.
Yeah, because like, you know, you had your portion. Ryan declared 50% of the way through our appies, and he's like, you know what? Not a cornbread guy. We're like, what?
What
the hell is going on?
We found out two things about him. What was the other thing he said he didn't like that was stunning to everybody?
It wasn't the Debbie's.
Ryan, do you remember what it was?
No, I love the deviled eggs.
No, but there were two things at the table that you said.
Cornbread,
you ribs.
And ribs.
He's out on ribs.
He doesn't do ribs.
Not a ribs guy. And that is kind of stunning considering that I do like barbecue, but I don't like ribs.
Don't
unbelievable.
Like ribs.
The ribs were great, by the way.
Ribs.
Check out my Instagram story. I did post that already because they bring it out. They smoke. They put the ribs in this glass case, basically, that is smoked. And then they do this big unveil. So I wanted to make it at the table like the kickoff at a college game where it's like,
Eagle. Now, I will tell you this. To give an idea how full I was fascinated by the smoke. I've always have been.
Yes.
One of the managers.
Oh, this was great.
So the manager, like, you're like, question for you. How do you get the smoke inside the thing? Right? And he's like, we got a smoke on. You want to see it? And three
he's
guys
like,
are like,
he's
yes.
Like, anyone who spends $600 gets to go back and
you want to take a look?
Look at where the smoke is.
And I muttered, I'm good, I think. I don't even know what I said.
Yeah.
But I couldn't. Like, you guys got up and walked over.
Right. This is a great point I forgot about. Me, Darius, and Ryan, like, school field trip, we're all like, let's take a lap. Let's go. So we hop back. We go back. We don't go into the kitchen. That would probably have violated some kind of code.
Their rules, yeah.
But they have a kitchen, like, window kind of thing. So right in front of us, the guy brings it out and shows us how they put the smoke.
The smoke gun.
In this, like, glass case of ribs. Danny goes, I'm just going to stay here. And he just stays at the table.
And I just leaned back and sweated until you guys got back. I wanted to ask, like, what was it? Can you describe it to me? Did you see anything? But I couldn't. I couldn't talk.
You ate an incredible amount. I was very proud. But I have never seen you lose in this man versus food challenge.
Yep.
And you want to blame the grits. I'll say that the mac and cheese is so dense.
Yes.
And the thickness of your – it's a skillet, I would say. It's like a black kind of dish skillet.
Mm-hmm.
But it was probably 2 inches tall and the size almost of, like, half of a normal plate. Full of thick – cheesy, heavy mac and cheese with a full lobster
That's
on.
Right.
And you ate all of that after the cornbread, before the grits.
That was no problem. And I'm not trying to be a tough guy. I'm telling you, it was the grits, man. Though dense. Like, imagine right now, like one of the weirdest scenarios, hypothetically, we're at Bowie Bay Sox Stadium. A man comes over with one of those like drills that they do on construction sites, and he chisels out a brick from that wall right there. The
stone. So a normal size cinder block.
Yeah, it's the same feeling in your stomach. Those grits, those things were the heaviest. They were delicious. It's probably all buttermilk and lard.
Well, I was proud of
cheese.
You because initially,
phenomenal.
When we started talking about desserts, you were out, and then eventually, you and Ryan decided that you would go in and share part of a dessert.
His special
now,
cheese.
Darris and I did a very good move, I thought. For entrees, Darris and I, married couple that we are, decided.
Tim, this was unbelievable.
We're going to order two entrees that we both like. We're going to split them in half and both sample. Danny had a problem with it. I tried to get Ryan in, three-team trade style. I wanted to Rizzo him and get myself Trey Turner back.
And Grant's like, we'll just keep passing every 2 minutes.
I wanted Trey Turner and Joe Ross back for Steven Souza. He wasn't interested. Didn't want to be the Rays in that three-team deal. But you and I did the ribs and the short ribs.
We did.
By God.
It was such a power move. Such a power move.
We took a little heat for it.
A little heat. You know, it's fine. The table wasn't happy about our situation.
So much
sharing.
It didn't
matter. It didn't matter. Our stomachs were happy.
Did you guys feed each other, use each other's forks?
Actually, yeah. We did a thing where we, like, the arms crossed. At one point, like, Danny tapped the glass and we had to kiss. It was wonderful. It was, the whole night was.
Honeymooning in
you
Valley.
You were the perfect date, sweetie.
Very romantic experience.
The thing, there's so many things that drive me crazy about that. No one should ever do what you guys did, by the way. Just as a quick side.
I wanted all four of us to get in,
well,
and Danny just shot it down like it was a bird in a video game.
From the same person that's like, you can't put cereal back in the box. You're just eating off each other's plates.
No, that's
forks
that's
are touching stuff.
No, I am not.
The fork touched this. The fingers touched that. Here's lick my finger, buddy. That's rip sauce on it.
These
have sweet tea.
Stop.
It's
you're grossing
by far worse. I grossed you out?
I'm a germaphobe.
And you're swapping spit with Darris.
No chance. I cut, as soon as it showed up, I took a knife, I cut each meal in half. We plated them. There was no touching of anything. There was never any sharing of anything. I will say, when we got our dessert, because we did the same thing for dessert, we got on the same page.
Yep.
We wanted fried Oreos and vanilla ice cream. Could have come with cookies and cream. We audibled correctly to vanilla ice cream, by the way. When that came out, I said, Darris, there's three Oreos here. How many do you want? He said one. He ended up going one and a half. I cut that in half. I said, tell me how much ice cream. A little more than that. So before anyone ate anything, we divvied everything up. That's the right way to do this.
With what?
Ryan were the ones that were gross and were just taking your forks into your cheesecake one after each other.
What silverware
did you
use?
Boy, girl, every other. That was disgusting.
What silverware did you use to cut it up?
Knife.
Yours. You get a brand new knife every time you touch something?
I never put my knife in my mouth. It wasn't like I was licking
your
the knife.
Your knife touches this, it touches your food.
We got brand new silverware.
It was a butter knife, bro.
Yeah.
Not every time. After Appy's.
But I never touched, like, the knife only touched food. It wasn't like a fork that's going in my mouth.
You stab with the fork like you stab everything. Anything that comes near you, you stab it down like you're trying to give it an EpiPen in the heart. All right?
Irrelevant. Thrown out of court.
What does that
have to do with anything?
The fork touches your mouth. The fork touches the food. Again, my point is, this really isn't about that. I don't care about that. My point is, you called me. What did you call me? Disgusting?
Disgusting strong. I said that's gross, I think.
Putting my son's cereal back in the box.
Tim, the guy's son eats cereal. Whatever
dry.
He doesn't eat, he pours the cereal back in the box for the future.
He eats it dry.
Just sits in the pantry.
If he used milk, of course I wouldn't do that because it's sullied and ruined. This is dry cereal that he's the only one that eats. I put it right back in that box. Right back in there.
What a meal.
Anyway.
What a great time. But again, just a absolute clinic or disgusting, whichever you prefer.
Little of both. I have a surprise how much weight did Danny gain. We'll be doing for the double play today.
Really?
Ooh. Yes. The way I figured out to do it the best was I weighed myself after breakfast yesterday morning. Okay, I had a breakfast yesterday morning, so I weighed myself
at home. I think all of us successfully skipped lunch.
Yeah,
right. I mean, I ate
a couple tiny snacks.
I had a snack at like noon,
mm-hmm.
but just wanted to expand the stomach a little bit.
Right. So I had breakfast. So then I weighed myself after breakfast this morning. One number is bigger than the other. I'll tell you that.
Is it were you heavier before the meal?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yep.
Double play, 3:45 today. Can't wait. We are at Bowie Bay Sox. Harrisburg Senators baseball today out in Bowie, Maryland, where Saturday is Star Wars night. R2-D2 jerseys going to be worn, benefiting University of Maryland Medical System Foundation. They're going to have an online auction for the jerseys after the game. And we got the brand-new head coach of the Washington Capitals on the show at 3 o'clock and 35 minutes, Spencer Carberry. Grant and Danny with you on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
And Danny, live from Bowie, Maryland, home of the Bowie Bay Sox, where they are getting ready to take on the Harrisburg Senators today. Robert Hassel, who is one of the players acquired by the Nationals in the Juan Soto deal. Double-A outfielder now, who is 21-year-old left-handed bat, high on base percentage, high walk rate in the minor leagues this year, is going to be joining us coming up in less than 15 minutes. And the head coach of the Washington Capitals, introduced to the media today in a press conference, Spencer Carberry joins us at 3 o'clock. So we'll be guest heavy and a couple of big names on the show coming up in the next few minutes. So make sure you are listening. Danny, did you see that FedEx Field was named a top 5 tailgating location for NFL stadiums?
So initially, I did see that. Initially, I couldn't believe it. I'm going, what are the criteria? How could that possibly be? Then there's part of it that makes a little bit of sense to me, and hear me out on this. And I'm not joning. I'm simply saying, you're going to have plenty of space, right? If there aren't that many people coming to the game, part of the tailgate experience, and it's actually something that I always found a little bit off-putting, to be honest with you, coming to games at FedEx, you know, the one or two or three, however many per year I used to go to, like, people look at you side-eyed because they were there at 10 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning, whatever, tailgating. They take up like 2.5 spaces. And I'm like, can I park there? Can I not? There's no attendant to sort of help you out with it or whatever. But you get to spread out. You get to spread your wings. You got plenty of time to do whatever the heck you want. And you got plenty of space. Maybe that was something that contributed to it.
Well, here's what it got me thinking about, honestly. If they go back into D.C. at the RFK site, Poplar Point has come up. I don't know if we're past the point of that still being considered a candidate or if that's been shot down enough lately, but let's just use the RFK site as an example. If they go more urban and in the city, and that means a smaller footprint, it means less parking.
Yeah.
And we all talk about that as a good thing because driving and traffic stinks, and because getting to these games and being at stadiums where you are going to be able to use public transportation to get to the front door is the dream.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a priority should it be, though, to have a tailgating experience? If you are a season ticket holder to the Commanders, that is a huge part of the identity of your enjoyment as a fan of game day right now.
For a lot of folks, that is a thing.
I can speak to this because my wife's a season ticket holder. Every single week, I'm attached on their planning email leading up to the game, right? They're not quite tailgate-tetting this thing, where they're going to some warehouse and putting 300 pounds of hot dogs on a shelf because he's got to cook for, 1,000 people or whatever. But they have themed meals, and it's a whole buildup all week long, and 20 of them get together in the parking lot. Used to be. Then it was 10, then it was 5. Now it's like 3 of them standing around.
Yeah.
But the point is, this is their game day experience. And we never really talk about that when we talk about the new stadium. We ask about it, and people talk about what should be inside and sight lines and how big it should be and public transportation. But what if they lose parking? Because doesn't that inevitably mean you lose tailgating as well? If it's a really small area where you can park or a small footprint in D.C., does that matter? If you have bars and if you have restaurants, does that replace it? Because there's still something cool about throwing the Weber grill and some meat in the back of your truck and driving to a game and sitting in your folding chair for 3 hours and setting up a TV now to watch Sunday Ticket.
This is something I hadn't considered, and I actually think I probably overlooked it because I don't care about that. And I'm not dismissing it because, to your point, it is something that if you regularly do it, it's a thing you look forward to. It's part of the culture. It's part of your, as you said, it's your game day experience. There's something beautiful and traditional about that, right? And what we're all talking about is this sleek, modern stadium with plenty of eateries around it. I want a Walters, and I want Chicken and Whiskey, and I want Mission, and I want Duke's Grocery. I want 50 places that I want to go eat right by that stadium. Well, that's basically saying no thank you to the tailgating folks, right? And that's, I don't want to say it's disrespectful, but it's kind of looking past them in a way. There needs to be some kind of accommodation for that. And listen, good luck solving this word problem. If you're designing this new stadium, there's no way to make everybody 100%
happy. That's a good point.
Everyone's
going
to have to give. Yeah.
There's like a hole that's leaking. You put a little tape over it. Now the water comes out somewhere else.
Yeah, everybody's going to have to give in some way. It's not going to be – there's no perfect scenario, no perfect site, no perfect utility. There's always going to be some kind of issue, whether it's traffic or limited parking or this is too expensive or that's too hard. I don't know. It's, again, as I said, it's never going to be perfect. But I have not given enough consideration, I don't think, to folks that still – get a kick out of that, out of the tailgating part of it. For me, it's all about in the stadium, wanting to be in there and having that be worth a damn, having, you know, guaranteeing that water doesn't fall on me or that a railing doesn't collapse or that, you know, the food lines aren't terrible, all that other kind of stuff. I think there is a huge, it's almost like, forgive the political analogy, it's almost like your base in politics, right, where sometimes you got to take care of your base. That's kind of your base among, you know, if you're a fan of the team that's still going through all this crap, going through there to deal with all the misery, that's still kind of your weekend family, you know? So I think some consideration needs to be made there.
I'm trying to find the top five. If you pull it up, let me know. But I'm assuming the Chiefs would be number one. I think it has a lot to do with space for sure. There's a ton of parking. Like, if you got in a helicopter and just hovered above an NFL stadium, the amount of space of just concrete lots at FedEx Field is massive compared to most places. You would have that, by the way, if the stadium's out in Loudoun County, I would think.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even less so, but I think maybe even in the Woodbridge corridor, Dumfries, wherever it is that they want to build in Virginia, you would absolutely have that, because you already do, at FedEx 2.0. It's just inside the Beltway, and specifically inside D.C. proper, where I think that gets really difficult to pull off. And I guess my question is, and you can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny, and maybe we can revisit this on the phones a little bit later, but how big of a priority should that be? Because to your point, you're not going to – everything's not going to be perfect. You're not going to fix everything. But you have to decide what's significant. If you're buying a house, if having a garage is the end-all be-all, and you show up to walk through with your real estate agent and you say, oh, where's the garage? And they go, oh, this one doesn't have a garage. Then it's over. Like, my wife had a couple of random things that she absolutely had to have. One of them was she cared about parking, which so did I. And she cared about, I think it was like an ice maker or something, you know, when we were going and looking at places years ago. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, washer dryer being separate or, you know, whatever it was. Which floor of the house the washer dryer was on mattered. That type of stuff. Should tailgating make that cut of what really is a priority at the next stadium? Because if we all agree that FedEx Field is terrible and that this stadium is a bottom feeder in the National Football League, it doesn't mean that everything is bad. And if your experience, like the people that I know, on Sundays, the highlight is getting together and all cheersing and shotgunning a beer before you go in after a big speech or whatever it is in that parking lot as you cook, you're not going to have that in some of these locations. Should they care about that? I think it's an interesting question.
I do, too. And I think it's a fair one. And I will fully admit that I was looking past that. And I think that was a mistake I made.
Could you do something, someone saying, like the bullpen? GMAC on Twitter just said, and you can hit me up at Grant H. Paulson, Danny's at Funny Danny. The bullpen outside of Nats Park kind of replaces tailgating there. I think you could go that route. Yes, but now you're with a lot of people in a crowded area. You're kind of doing it on someone else's time and dime, if you will.
Yeah.
It's not a build-your-own-meal out of your own.
They're not letting you walk in with your own beers.
Exactly.
You know, you're buying them at stadium prices there.
And I agree that that is a middle ground. And maybe we decide that it's worth it to have something awesome like that. Because if you're a young person, how could you not go over there and throw some bags before a Nats game? Like, that looks like a blast.
Right.
Got the huge screens up. You can watch everything you want to pregame. We can get back into this and circle back. If you've got a thought, 800-636-1067, or you can tweet us at Funny Danny at Grant H. Paulson. Spencer Carberry is going to join us top of the hour, the brand-new coach of the Capitals. And Robert Hassel expected to walk up from the clubhouse and join us here in just a couple of moments. We're in Bowie, Maryland, where tonight the AA affiliates for the Nats and the Orioles are meeting, Senators and Bay Sox, and we are pumped to be here on Grant and Danny on the Fan. G&D on the Fan. Welcome back, and thank you for listening to the show. We are in Bowie, Maryland, home of the Bay Sox, hanging out at their ballpark where the AA affiliates of the Nats and the O's play tonight. We wanted to come out and check out James Wood, who just got called up from A-plus ball, the Nats' new prospect as of the Juan Soto deal last year from the Padres organization. Started in Fredericksburg last season, bumped up to A-plus ball in Wilmington to start this year, has an OPS over 900. He's 6 foot 6 inches tall and considered one of the best players in the minor leagues. He is roaming the outfield in Bowie through Sunday if you want to come check him out. By the way, Danny, Sunday here in Bowie, Gunnar Henderson bobblehead for the first 750 fans, 13 and up.
Oh, here we go.
Gates open at 11:30 a.m. He was the number one prospect in baseball at the start of the year with the Baltimore Orioles, who are playing their butts off in the American League East.
They would be in first place, I think, in pretty much every other division, right? As of, at least, you know, going into the weekend. Problem is, they play in the Rays division. And even though the Rays have, like, 900 guys hurt and are starting, like, minor league Marty's, they're still just an absolute buzzsaw.
That division is unfair.
Yeah.
You know, in the NL East, I will say for the Nats, has been really good for a long time, too, because the Braves, who win it every year, are great. The Mets spend money. The Marlins have pitching, right? The Phillies are a big payroll team that's always trying to improve. This is not one of those organizations where at any given moment two or three teams aren't trying to win. So it's not easy to play in the NL East either, but I guess we can be lucky that it's not the American League East.
The like media in Boston are losing their minds. They're like, is it time to blow it up? You know, is it leadership change? Is now the time? Game over 500 in the toughest division in sports, probably. You know what I mean? It's just there are no nights off. It's a buzzsaw.
Speaking of the media in Boston, NBA Finals start tonight.
Oh, yeah.
The Celtics will not be participating. The Miami Heat with a Game 7 win advance. They take on the Denver Nuggets. I couldn't believe this. Do you know what the line is for tonight's game?
No.
Take a guess. Who's favored and by how many points?
Denver's going to be favored.
Okay, they are home. They're the better team. They're the one seed in the West. Miami's the 8th seed in the East.
So you're asking because it's you wouldn't be asking if it was like a 3.5-point line. Because that you're asking because it's a big number.
So but what would you expect the line to
be? I would have said 5.5 points.
Okay. How about 9.5 tonight? People don't seem to think much of the Miami Heat. And it doesn't matter what they do in the playoffs.
Yes,
it doesn't matter if they give up 3 straight games and then win in a game 7. It doesn't matter if they get back on track and kind of... Nothing matters. They continue to be doubted and counted out.
Like, I know my timeline's all off just because, you know, all the days are bleeding together. But, like, when was the last time Denver played? You know what I mean? They handily dispatch their opponent in the Western Conference Finals. Feels like they've been gone forever. A little rest versus rust type thing. I'd expect Miami, who's just done so much to get here.
They swept the Lakers. Their last game was on Monday, May 22nd. So that was...
10 days, basically, right?
10 days ago.
So I don't know. I mean... Now, listen, they've been great this postseason. They have been. They've been outstanding. They've been the best team in the NBA. They weren't necessarily that wire-to-wire in the regular season at times, but, you know, the Western Conference was more competitive. I think there were more teams up at the top that were really, really good. A lot of depth out there. But still, man, Denver's been outstanding in this postseason. It just nobody's given Miami a chance, and I'm kind of done doing that. Now, I'm still, like, both sides of my mouth.
I'm still picking
Denver to win the series, but
how
I don't think
games?
Six. I don't think Miami just rolls over and dies. They don't do that.
I think Denver wins in 5. I should say sweep because that's really what I think this is. I think this is lopsided. I guess I'm guilty of what you're talking about, which is to say that I'm doubting Miami. But I think the Heat are tired. I think they're banged up. They just had to go seven. And in the case of Jimmy Butler, he was limping around in the seventh game of that series.
Dead legs.
Denver can't be any more rested and prepared than they are.
Seriously.
And they're just better. Like, if everything was equal footing, they're decidedly better. The only reason I give the Heat a chance would be if Jimmy Butler can somehow be the best player in the series, which means he outperforms Nikola Jokic. Jokic, 29.9 points, 13.3 rebounds, and 10.3 assists per game in these playoffs, averaging a triple-double. Meanwhile, Butler averaging 29.7 rebounds and 6 assists, a couple of second-team All-NBA players who are having postseasons to remember.
Here is your formula from Miami. And again, I think Denver wins this series. Miami's formula is you sneak one of these games out of there in Denver. Somehow, some way, through your normal MO of guts, great defending, you know, endless energy, switching the whole nine yards. You get hero play from whether it's Bam Adebayo finally has a huge game and maybe you force, you know, Jokic to cover him down low, or maybe Caleb Martin hits a bunch of shots. The injection of Tyler Hero back into the series at home in Miami for game three. A guy that makes it easier for everyone else because he can knock down so many shots. He's such a good scorer. Maybe that's the way Miami kind of hangs around. That's kind of what they've been doing here. Is they just sort of hang around and, you know, by all of a sudden you look up, they've got more energy than you in the fourth quarter, which happened to Boston to get that 3-0 lead and everything else. Denver, I think, is too good. They're too deep. And Jokic makes everyone so outstanding because he draws so much attention. There's so much gravity around him. But, yeah, it's Miami's the decided underdog, rightfully so. But 9.5 for game one, that's a pretty big line.
Best of seven begins tonight. Nuggets at home. First ever appearance in the NBA Finals for Denver against Miami. They seem to be there every single year with one of the best coaches in basketball. Spoelstra starts cutting videotapes in their department back in the 90s. I mean, he's got him in the title round, it seems like, more often than not over the last decade, a two-time champion NBA head coach. Grant and Danny with you in Bowie, Maryland. We are going to be joined by the new head coach of the Washington Capitals, Spencer Carberry, right at the top of the hour. Spread the word next on G&D.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.